You know, one of the biggest challenges when I'm with someone new is that they have their brains filled with everything they think they're good at. You know, and we can translate this into life too, right? Here's how what I'm good at in business. Here's what I'm good at home. Here's what I'm good at sex. The only way to live tantrically is to delete all that.
This is the Entrepology Podcast. The podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
Welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker. As an anthropologist and naturopathic doctor, I optimize the health and performance of badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. You know these people. They are people exactly like you. Before we jump into the interview, I want to invite you to join our free Facebook community, Legacy. If you want to be something amazing, you need to surround yourself with amazing people. The Legacy community is made up of badass women living, not leaving, but living our legacy every single day. We are leaders, parents, entrepreneurs, and innovators collectively committed to leaving the world better than we found it. My mission is to support the health and optimization of these badass superheroes, literally to places we never thought imaginable. If you are on a mission and get it that your health is the key to your unlimited potential, then join us. We are super awesome. You can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/groups/DE Legacy. See you there. Today, I sat down with Katrina Boss. Katrina is an author, a cancer survivor, a mother, a mathematician, and now a teacher of Tantra. Tantra, as Katrina will explain, is not about yoga or sex or weird kinky things. It's about connecting to people. It's about connecting to that flow state. And it's about finding a true state of connection and intimacy. Our conversation was so interesting because it was not just about sexuality or connection. It was about how we use and leverage these things to connect to who we are as women and who we are as go-getters in this world. This interview was jam-packed with actionable information, not like that, about really finding ways to connect to yourself, about truly loving yourself, and how ultimately being able to do this and practice this on a daily basis has massive rewards in terms of your ability to contribute to the world. My favorite guest of all time talking about sexuality, Katrina Boss. Katrina Boss, it is a pleasure to have you on the podcast.
I'm so happy to be here.
Well, this is a bit of a different topic for us. And we were just debriefing before this started. And I said, listen, our audience is a lot of empowered female entrepreneurs who want to look at taking their health and their life and their performance to the next level. And this is the population I work with in practice. And they're all gung-ho to do everything. And then we start to talk about sexuality or libido or connection. And there's just this collective shutdown. And what I'm really excited to talk about and explore with you is the correlation between sexuality and inner power and confidence and finding that when you're too tired to brush your teeth. And I really can't think of a better person to have this conversation with. You're on the brink of releasing your second book about Tantra. This is your passion. I could just let you go from here. Tell us how you got to where you are now.
Well, I discovered Tantra. I was married. I was 10 years married at that point. And, you know, I had everything you were supposed to want. You know, we had a business, we had the two kids, we had a happy marriage, lots of sex, good sex. And yet I just knew there was something else. I knew that we were missing something. It was like, you know, we were stuck on the first floor of a huge tower and we just couldn't find the elevator, you know? And the word Tantra actually bubbled up in my consciousness. Like I didn't even know what it was. And this was before internet. I couldn't even Google it. And I started studying it. I went to the local library and asked the little old ladies to order every Tantra book they could find. And of course I got all these weird kinky things about rituals and these old women would be sitting there looking at me over their spectacles going, what, who are you? You strange woman. And, but none of it was what I wanted. It wasn't what I was looking for. And it's one of the challenges with something like Tantra is there is a sexual piece, which is really important, but because North America, because we're so messed up sexually, because we're so repressed, we just have so many weird dogmas and stigmas attached to it. It was sort of the thing that we latched on to. So everything became about sex when it became about Tantra. But of course, people kind of missed the boat and they really just became sex addicts. So anyway, that's an aside. But so I really wasn't looking for that. And eventually I found books that were more about spirituality and being heart-centered and understanding true masculine and feminine interaction. And then I really knew I was onto something. And when Tantra really opened for me, it actually took me a while to convince my husband to do it. He was pretty happy with our sex life. Like, as most people are, they're like, well, how does it get better than this? You know, I mean, orgasms, this is all there is, right? And eventually I convinced him. We went to Jamaica and we practiced. We practiced, you know, non-ejaculatory sex. We practiced giving and receiving in a masculine and feminine union. We practiced all these really simple things. And I had the most beautiful awakening mid-intercourse. Like, we made love like 6-7 hours a day. And we ran our own business. Like, we never had time for 6 or 7 hours of lovemaking a day or anything.
No one does.
We barely got to sleep that much, you know? I mean, we had kids, we had foster kids, but the most amazing thing is this, for me personally, and the one thing I'd really want to speak to women about is what it actually means to be feminine. Because what I found through this deep, deep healing intercourse and this deep connection, I really healed something deep inside of me. Like, I found this still, almost like a well. I spoke to an intuitive woman after I came back, and she said when she tuned into my energy, she said it was like those underground caves that are actual lakes, and these lakes are completely undisturbed. I don't know whether they call them grottos, or I'm not sure what they call them, but there are these underground lakes. She goes, that's what your energy's like. It's like the deepest feminine. And I was so peaceful, and I received so much guidance and awareness. And I don't know, I realized at that point what Tantra really was. And that's when I realized it was something I had to teach. And it's something that in being an entrepreneur, because I've been self-employed for over 20 years. And I think one of the big challenges being a woman, especially, is that we actually, our society is so masculine based, and I don't mean men based. I mean, we understand logic, drive, A-type personality, and this is all masculine energy. We don't understand the feminine. And when women act predominantly in this masculine, aggressive, driven way, we really lose all touch with that feminine. And I think that's why we burn out so quickly, which I think is a huge piece that Tantra as a philosophy and as a life and sexually really has a lot to offer us in terms of healing and finding that balance and finding that strength in the feminine.
Yeah, I find that such an interesting comment. And it's actually come up with a number of really strong female guests that I've had lately, that they've sort of found their power in connecting to their feminine. And it's interesting when we talk so much about imposter syndrome, I think half of it is we're trying so hard to be something we're not. We're trying so hard to fit into this mold of society that, that we aren't. And you kind of allude to that in the introduction of your book. You talk about this failing on the part of society to really nurture and effectively nurture our most intimate relationships in particular. Why is that happening?
Well, I think it, in fairness to society, historically, we were always in war or famine or going through some kind of horrible thing. And so everything was all about the strength of the clan. You know, everything we did had to make sure that we had the strongest barriers, the strongest, we had to make sure we had food. It's something I really understood when, you know, I was a computer programmer. I married a farmer, moved to the middle of nowhere, and suddenly I was haying and milking cows with babies on my back. And I had this bizarre couple of decades of real back to the land living. And I really quickly understood the importance of not worrying about what's wrong. You know, because all that matters is sun is shining, get the hay in.
Right.
Don't think about the relationships. Don't think about your emotions. Just, you know, just get the work done. And I realized that this is our base. Like, we come from an agrarian society. This is what we come from. So the idea of even having the time to nurture intimate relationships, whether it's with our partners or our children or our parents, is actually very new. And I actually think that society, we're allowed to do this now, which I think is why Tantra is rising. It's why yoga is rising, meditation, because we actually have the time and the space to be contemplative now. We're not worrying about, and the thing is, if we are in society today and we're still worrying about where our food's coming from, we won't be able to embrace this either. So, but the time is right now, I think.
Yeah, it's a great point. I mean, it's a privileged conversation to be able to have. If you were like in an elevator pitch, I think a lot of people think that Tantra has something to do with yoga and sex. And as you alluded to, you know, those kinky things that those little old women were intrigued by. Clear things up. What is Tantra?
So describing Tantra is a little bit like describing yoga. You know, we tend to look at the physical aspects of things, which is why we like to focus on postures. And I do this meditation, pranayama, that kind of thing. Tantra in its, there is no elevator speech. That's the truth. I don't even beat myself up about that anymore.
Okay, we have stopped the elevator. It's all yours.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So now I have a captive audience.
Yeah, you do. You're stuck in the elevator.
You're stuck in the elevator. Awesome. Essentially what Tantra is, so if you look at yoga, for example, there's a lot of different branches of yoga. Some yoga says all that matters is spiritual life, you know, so these are the meditative practitioners that say the body is irrelevant, simply meditate. All bliss comes from connection with the divine. And then there's other yoga that says, no, we can find that through the physical world. You know, it's through discipline, it's through alignment, it's through breath, it's through this. Tantra brings all of that together and says it's not either. As human beings, we're meant to be both. And if we aren't being both, we're working at way less than half capacity. We actually are completely divine and completely physical all at the same time. And if we integrate those things, our lives become walking miracles. Because the divine isn't just something, it isn't just meditating or burning incense or doing a ritual. It's actually embracing infinity. It's embracing source energy, God energy, whatever that is for you, that is undefinable. You know, as I was writing this book, I was running out of synonyms for ineffable. You know, there's like only so many ways you can talk about something you can't describe.
Right.
You know, it's, but that's the reality, is that the spiritual aspects of every one of us is indescribable. It's not something you can just say. It's those moments when, you know, if you have children and you've had the worst day, like you're just stressed out, like 100,000 things are going, too many irons in the fire. And then you walk upstairs and your kids are sleeping and you look at them and the whole world stands still and everything is silent. And this is an ineffable moment. This is an indescribable peace that we have access to all the time. And you can't describe it unless you've done it. You can't recreate it. It's just something that happens sometimes. And this is what the divine is, and where, as business people, this is where Tantra is really a lifestyle. It's walking down the street and knowing that for everything we see here that is interesting and challenging and joyful and painful, there's also this entire other spiritual component that at any moment we can close our eyes and ask for guidance and we'll receive it instantly. And that changes your whole perception of life, stress, business, everything. That's where you become tantric. And of course, you know, the sexuality aspect of it is, imagine you bring that into the bedroom. imagine you have this other person that you're not just treating like another human. They're not just some person that's a great companion and that you think they're hot and you like having sex and you had kids. And, you know, it's not just that physical world. You actually look at this person as this infinite incarnation that you actually get to be close with and you get to bear your soul with. And then you get to be physically intimate and you get to explore each other and you get to, and you have no idea what's coming because you're both infinite beings. So now you have infinity meeting infinity, and all the two of you are doing is gazing into each other's eyes, sort of holding on for dear life because you just have no idea what's coming. When that comes into your sexuality, you can never have regular sex again because it's so boring. Because when you play in this infinite field, not only is it you actually have a taste of what it is to be human, you then leave that experience changed, which I think is what really motivated me when I first discovered Tantra. Because when I first had sex, I waited till I was 20. I thought I was going to wait till marriage, and you know, that didn't happen. And I, the first time I had it, I remember thinking, what a horrible experience. That was so disappointing. Why did I wait all these years? Because in my mind, I was supposed to be changed after. I was supposed to have fireworks and I was supposed to meet God, you know, or something when I had sex. So I was so disappointed for so long until the first time I had true tantric intimacy, that I truly united every aspect of my being with this other person sexually. And I had all the fireworks and all the bliss that I knew was possible from that first moment. And it alters you. Like, it alters how you walk down the street because you've now felt it. You've had a visceral experience of the divine, of something so far beyond this world, and yet it's completely in this world. And that's what Tantra really offers all of us in every aspect of our life.
The thing that sounds so amazing to me, well, for my first thought is, I can't wait to do this in retirement. But I know you've been where I am, where, you know, you've got three kids under six and you're and then I stop myself and I'm like, no, like this is too cool and too amazing an opportunity to bypass, which then naturally leads me to this question of, where does one acquire sexual mentorship? And I mean this in the most sincere way, because it's not something that most of us ever really talked about with our parents, with the exception of be careful. And mm-hmm. if you got that, or, you know, kids are going online these days and their sexual mentorship is porn. And we talked about this briefly. I can't tell you the number of young men in my practice who are on performance enhancing medications because they have so much anxiety that they can't live up to their porn mentors. And I the whole thing just seems very complex. There's this undercurrent, underground conversation. Like, where do we learn to have this kind of connection with people?
You know, it's interesting. So my kids are in their 20s now, and they, when they were teenagers, all their friends would come over and we would have conversations. We'd have little tantra talks. And I used to go away to retreats, whether they were meditation or yoga or tantra retreats. My kids' friends all called them sex camp. They'd be like, so when's your mom coming back from sex camp? You know, which was hilarious because it wasn't, but they thought it was. You know, it became this joke in the house, you know, like, so one time at sex camp, I was, you know, it was so fun. But what I really discovered, and especially when I began teaching Tantra, I did a survey of university students and I asked them, why would you ever want to learn Tantra? And the number one thing they said is that they crave real connection. And I think that's where the mentorship will come from, is that deep down, no matter how addicted we are to porn and this and what we look like and what it's supposed to be and all these things, on some level, there are a lot of people who just want real connection and they'll find it. And I do, I think it's truly where the mentorship will come, obviously, besides reading my book.
Of course.
Of course. But I think the truth is people are seeking it. And it's funny, the first section of my book, became a redefinition of what love is and what connection actually is. Because even our concept of connection is very external. You know, we choose a good partner, a good companion, a good parent, someone who has the same life goals as you. Like, we have all these external things. Love, in terms of true intimate connection, doesn't tend to be there. And even, you know, it's funny, my kids, I never have to talk about sex with them necessarily per se, because the connection that I had with them was so intimate. You know, I don't mean, and I even saying that it immediately sounds kinky, but my kids they cannot connect with people in any way except for intimately and not sexually, just soul to soul connection. And so they naturally do everything in that way. And truthfully, that's the beginning. The beginning is actually in mentorship and relationships and love and connecting with ourselves. You know, I mean, can you imagine even sexually, you know, actually having a love affair with you? You know, and it sounds so cliche, I know, but we have stigmas around that. Like, it's narcissism and it's selfish and it's all these things. It's like, no. Can you imagine? Like, you figure all of the burnt out entrepreneurs, I mean, and we are great people. Don't get me wrong. I mean, we have great vision. We want to help people. We want to do great things. We are driven. But would you ever treat your lover the way we treat ourselves?
Yeah, right? That's true.
Like, we, and if we can't do this for us, we can't do it with someone else. Like, we want to skip that step, right? We want to skip the step of healing us. We just simply want to keep driving in the same place we're doing. And it's like, no, honestly, if you were your own child, would you want them to do this? Like, how would you mother and care for your own child? There's no way you would do this to you. And so it really does become about us. And so even, for example, like having this deep relationship. So sexually, I make love 100% intuitively. You know, one of the biggest challenges when I'm with someone new is that they have their brains filled with everything they think they're good at, you know, and we can translate this into life too, right? Here's what I'm good at in business. Here's what I'm good at home. Here's what I'm good at sex. The only way to live tantrically is to delete all that and to actually trust that guidance will come. And so to actually go into the bedroom and really actually connect with this other person, because we already know this. This is part of our blueprint. All we need to do is delete the programming that says, I'm supposed to like it this way, he liked it that way last time, so I'm going to do that again. This is our brains making love. If we actually shut our brains off and let our bodies make love, our bodies know what to do. You know, but we need to be able to do this in our own self. If we are running ramshod over our own hearts every single moment of the day because we have an external goal, we're going to be doing that in sex too.
Yeah. And it's so fascinating. I mean, we say this all the time, get out of your head, get out of your head. But like, you know, what a great place to practice getting out of your head. What has learning and studying Tantra done for you in terms of your capacity to execute and be effective in other areas of your life as a parent, as an entrepreneur? What's the translation?
As a parent, I realized actually it was flipped. It was actually that my experience being a parent was the foundation for becoming tantric. Because when my kids were really young, one day I was driving my babysitter home. Somehow we got talking about sex. Now, this girl was a cool kid, right? She wasn't, you know, she was cool. She was about 16. And she looked at me and she said, as if I'd have sex without talking to my mom first. And I'll tell you, like, this was about 20 years ago. I looked at her and I went, what? What is your mother doing so right that you would talk to her about sex? So I was friends with her mom. So I went and talked to her mom and I said, what are you doing with your kids? Well, she was a single mom, entrepreneur, the whole thing. And she said, you know what? I never know what's right for my kids. I don't even know what's right for me. So she goes, I never tell them what to do. I don't pretend I have the answers for them. All I care about is that I am their safe place in the world and that they can always trust me. And those words altered my entire mother career. I decided that the whole rest of the world would tell my kids what to do and how to do it and judge them and grade them and do all that. But I would be that safe place in the world, no matter what, all the time. And that altered how I parented, because whenever they were going through a hard time, I just had to sort of sit still, listen for guidance as to what to do next. And it created a bond between me and my children that to this day is so beautiful. Like my kids even now, like my son lives up north in Thunder Bay, he's 22 and great big giant of a human. And he'll come back to me, he'll go, "Mom, you know what? Our upbringing was really different than others." they have no idea. And they're right. Like, wow, people have weird relationships with their parents, eh? And so that intense love for my children, my intense fear of doing the wrong thing. So therefore, I didn't trust my brain. I didn't trust my own fears and programming and stuff that society taught me. Because with parenting, everyone's telling you what to do. Everyone's telling you what not to do and all this. So instead, I would, and this was sort of like the first book I wrote was called What If You Could Skip the Cancer, which was cancer had runs in my family and all the women had died of it. And so I got sick when my kids were 2 and 4. And that was the beginning of me really listening inside and listening to guidance and divine wisdom, which resulted in like a miraculous healing, which is that first book. And that happened when my kids were 2 and 4. And so that really stimulated this. You know what? Your brain doesn't have the answers. Listen, there's greater wisdom in the world available. And that wisdom bonded my children and it allowed me to trust this. So today, for me to be intimate like that with another person is so effortless. So it's so safe. It's so open. There's never any judgment. There's never any fear. So if I'm with a friend or if I'm with a lover or a partner, that relationship I had with my children where you're always the safe place is how I am with every single person. So that actually, and that is the basis of tantric intimacy. If you can't be safe and open and loving, you can't connect. Energy doesn't lie, right? So that was actually that foundation. When I discovered tantra, then I started understanding how it fit into, say, and like, for example, sex. Sex, we aren't taught anything. So we default to a procreative model of sex where, you know, and I'm just going to stick with a heterosexual model, but it applies to all genders, all orientations. The male gets hard, the female gets wet, it goes in, you bang around a little bit for excitement until there's ejaculation and then you're done, you know, and you dress it up and you get better at it because you want each other to be happy and be pleasured. But really that's the basic model, which was okay, which was great. I mean, orgasms are fun, but that's what was missing. I discovered Tantra, and Tantra, instead of, so that procreative model has two people, like two things coming together, uniting to make babies, and then you come apart. Whereas tantric intimacy was about how you blend together, unite, and then you go somewhere completely different. Like the only thing I can explain, only thing I can describe is like once that masculine and feminine unites and you're not going in and out and all this friction, you unite. And then it's like the two beings, like you fly down a wormhole or something. Like it's just beyond description what happens in true intimacy. So then all of a sudden, everything changed. It's almost like that's how it is sexually, but that's how it is in life, in business. My brain, I have a degree in mathematics, so my brain thinks it knows everything. Right? It thinks it can just do all the spreadsheets, flow charts, demographic studies, marketing plans, and I will always come out on top. But I'm only using less than half of my capability. When I imagine that masculine energy combining with my true feminine, divine, deep wisdom of listening and accessing that, and those two worlds come together, one, I can sleep at night and I can rest And I know that there's something else going on in the world besides my brain chewing on everything. But I have such greater inspiration in my business. Like when I launched Fusion Tantra, my online school, you know, it was sitting quietly one day. Only in the quiet we have inspiration. We don't have inspiration when we're driving forward in our left brain. So in the quiet, I'm chatting with this friend of mine because I was a little worried about teaching Tantra. I was living in a small town then and I'm like, oh my God, they're going to like tar and feather me out. And my kids, I actually asked my kids, like, are you guys cool with mom being the local tantrika? Like, you guys are teenagers. And they're like, oh, mom, it's cool, right? They were cool with it. And I asked this friend of mine, I said, I don't know what I'm going to do. I really want to teach this, but I just feel like it just felt like such an exposure, you know? And he said, Katrina, the world is addicted to porn. You are offering the opposite. You are offering the solution to that. And I kind of never looked back. And then I went home and I was sitting quietly, probably over a cup of coffee, breathing deeply. And all of a sudden this article came to me and it just flowed out of me. I wrote this article called Tantra is the Opposite of Porn. I shared it on social media. I shared it with Collective Evolution, Toronto, big Toronto website. The last time I checked, it had been shared from their website over 350,000 times. It went completely viral. It totally launched my school worldwide. After that, I had students all over the world. I had people, and I always ask people, how did you find me? And they would have found me from my article having been translated into Arabic or German or whatever. That inspiration did not come out of my left brain marketing, driving forward brain. It came out of the silence. It came out of the feminine. It came out of, it was a divinely written article that I would love to repeat.
Right.
But it's like, that's the genius in business, you know, that we are both. And when we only rely on that driving forward, all we do is burn out. It's like we don't have faith that we have this beautiful other side. And the truth is, for all the women out there, it applies to men, but for women, it's actually our most comforting place to sit and receive and know that the answers are coming and know that we're held. Know that, like, and by the universe, by whatever you see that as, an incredible, incredible inspiration comes. And then our businesses flourish. It's like all that driving creates the structure. That's the masculine. But then that beautiful, quiet, feminine side colors in the picture and makes something so beautiful and expansive.
And I'm sitting here, I'm like, yes, I want in on this. So I will not wait till I'm retired. We've pushed past that. So what do we do? Like, what is the first, like if someone's listening and they're going, okay, I'm curious, what's the like Tantra 101 that I take home tonight or this afternoon or in the next 24 hours? Like, where do I start?
To actually sit in meditation. And whatever that looks like, it can be sitting at the beach. So for example, so years ago when I was sick, in the first book, a guru came into my life who guided me through this process. And he said, he goes, you've got to learn how to pray, which I had huge issues with. You know, I had huge issues with the church and organized religion. And I kind of argued with him for a while. And then he said, no, he says, this is your intimate connection with God. Again, I know a stigma-related word, but whatever that is for you. Because this is what Tantra is. It's connecting the divine with the physical. It's not about leaving the village. It's about bringing divine inspiration into your life. Whatever your life is, your kids, your marriage, your relationships, your business. And the only way to do that is to be still. The only way to do that is to listen. And so whether you sit in meditation in your house or you go to a place that brings you peace. You know, if you go to the lake and you sit and watch the water, or you watch the dog park, or you lay under the stars, whatever it is that stills your mind. And then you ask a question, you know, what's my next step? Because the key with Tantra is every single one of our journeys is totally unique. There's no, and I know that's cliche, but there's no one way that Tantra looks. I had one woman who did my online course in Tantra, and through the process of it, she discovered that she can talk to animals. Like, I mean, actually talk to them. And she's not delusional. And another person, you know, began their journey and they simply realized how broken they were from their childhood. And that was their first step. And so each one of us, that first step is so, so unique. But to actually be able to trust what you hear inside, so you sit and you quietly still your mind using any meditation technique you can find on the internet. It doesn't matter which one. But basically just breathing and listening. And whatever comes to your mind, you know, there's that still small voice that whispers. That's the guidance. It's not the one that's telling you what to do or arguing. It's the one that repeats it over and over again. Like, I would guess that every person listening already knows what that first step is, right? They already know. They just don't like it.
Right.
You know, it's that, oh, damn it. Like, cause it's like we're waiting for a better answer or an easier answer. But the thing about Tantra, like the thing about the divine is that when you are intuitive, intuition isn't just telling you what the next step is. Intuition tells you the truth of the present moment. You know, the divine energy is still. It's a singularity. It's all. It's everything all at once, right? It's very hard for our, it's kind of like mixing oil and water in our brains. But so when we're intuitive, there is only one answer. There is only one next step because it's simply the truth. And there's only one truth. There's only one reality. So while the world throws you 1,000 ideas, there's only one that is your reality. And that's why we meditate. And that's why we sit quietly and just listen for that one thing. And as soon as we bring our lives into alignment with that one thing, then the next thing comes.
Right.
And so that's really the first step, is developing that muscle. Right? Developing that, being able to hear that voice and trusting that voice. And it can be really little things like I play games, you know, even silly things. You can be driving. I mean, I live downtown Toronto and you drive around and this little voice says, turn right here. And you're like, what? No. And you're like, nah, just do it. You know, it's like, it's just sort of strengthening this little muscle inside. Or, you know, one of your kids is having a problem. And instead of knee-jerk reacting, when we meditate and we breathe, we create a new response that actually lets us step back, take a deep breath and go, okay, you know, what's happening here? Practicing being intimate and connected with our children is so easy because we love them more than anyone else on the planet, right? Yep. We can have issues with our partners, but our children, they're actually given to us. We are their caregivers. So to actually sit quietly with them and practice being intuitive, mother's intuition is so strong if we pay attention. And even with our lovers, with a partner, to actually sit with them and say, okay, so for example, sexually, here's a fun thing to go home with. So one of the things in tantric intimacy, and it's a lot bigger story, is that it's not about ejaculation, that orgasm and ejaculation are separate. You can orgasm without coming. And it's that's where you have hour-long orgasms as opposed to, you know, three-second ejaculations. So you imagine making love, but no one's going for an orgasm or ejaculation. If this is the only thing you try, first of all, it brings up all kinds of questions within your relationship, like, why are we doing it then? Which is fascinating to know that even within sex, we have a goal, an expectation, and a desired result.
Right, right.
And that is not making love. That is achieving the goal. And when you actually look at each other and go, let's just be intimate, but that's not the goal. You can still have intercourse, but the goal is not ejaculation or trying to make the other person come. That alters your entire relationship. And you don't have to know anything about Tantra.
And it's funny, as you're talking, I'm listening to it through the lens of, you know, we listen to people talk about flow state and the importance for achieving flow state to really get connected to what it is that you're trying to do, or the capacity to channel things in a way that you could never consciously do with your brain. I think we're just applying different language to it.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Well, and even to understand that the brain can only do so much. Like the brain is what is supposed to work the plan, but the decisions come from our heart. The decision comes from our passion, our connection to the divine, our connection to our calling. That, and when we miss that, that's why a lot of times when we're entrepreneurs, we get so caught up in the day-to-day machinations of the plan, right? Like all we're doing is just perpetual admin work and solving this and technology and everything else. And all of a sudden, we've forgotten why we ever started. You know, and this is why it's so important to never wait till you're retired. Like this really is right now. It really, and it really is that simple to really understand that our brain is just there to work the planet. It's the workhorse. That's it. All the heart is what creates the rest. It's sort of the why behind the what we do.
Right. And we put so much value on the brain.
Yeah. Yeah. And even in lovemaking, you imagine the why. If you come together and the why is, well, I want to have an orgasm. I want to go to sleep. I want to pass out. I'm, you know, my brain's struggling, so I want to have sex, which is cool. Sex is like the greatest way to pass out in the world. But it's like, if that's your why, like, for example, a lot of women get sick of sex.
Right. It's just kind of like, they do.
It's just like,
it's one more thing. God.
It's one more thing. But what if the why was you actually wanted to explore each other? And here's the other deal. So this is one of the hugest things that I realized when I started having real tantric intimacy with others. And this was with or without getting naked. I just mean intimate lovemaking, even making out. Like I used to say to my husband, I just want to lay on the couch and make out like a couple of teenagers. And he'd look at me like, yeah, but then after we'll have sex, right? I'd be like, no, I just want to make out. And you know why? Because it's invigorating. It actually, and like invigorating, it brings us energy. It doesn't expend energy. And so what I discovered, when you actually connect with another human and you connect magnetically, like the beautiful thing about Tantra is it understands us in terms of magnetism, and then energy flows between us. Like when you have normal sex, it's actually two masculine energies coming together, right? I do this to you, they do this to you, and it's like called friction sex, right? And you like go until you both orgasm and whatever. But it's, you're always outputting energy. Whereas in tantric intimacy, you're sharing energy and the energy is flowing between you. So what it does is it actually regenerates you. And afterwards, you are high for days. Like you're literally high. You have energy that you can't even fathom. So to me, if there's any, if we ever needed a reason to have tantric intimacy as entrepreneurs, it actually energizes you. It's like in Star Trek. I don't know if you ever watched Star Trek and the Borg. It was this
Your
huge,
math degree, like, is coming out right now.
Yeah, I know. Oh, no, I totally geek out. But here's the thing. So the Borg was part of this massive collective, and each entity every night would go and plug in to the mother, and they would regenerate all night for the next day. In theory, that's what we're doing when we're sleeping. But that's what it feels like to have tantric intimacy. Like you actually are designed to connect with this other human, and now the two of you regenerate through this infinite flow, and then you have all the energy in the world, as opposed to sex being I don't have time for that. It's like, I can't afford not to have time for this.
Right. Yeah. No, I was going to say, okay, so I hardly have time to brush my teeth, and I maybe spend some of my free time coloring my hair. And so where does this fit in? Because I don't have, but you answered that question. Right. And I think sometimes with anything with health, I have people that takes them forever to come in my office. They're like, well, I was just so scared you'd take my coffee, or you'd make me sleep more, or I'd have to go to the gym. Well, of course you do that because you love yourself. But this, I think for a lot of people, this feels the same way. It's just going to take so much energy or so much work, but it is the source of energy.
And I think the beautiful thing for me is that as an entrepreneur, as with young family and all these kinds of things, it's even having faith that the answer is right in front of you, right? It's knowing that. So for example, so this book is coming out the end of August. The whole world, I'm very technology, apparently I can't talk, but I'm very technological. So of course the world is saying, okay, you've got to be on every social media platform and you've got to do this and you've got to do a blog tour and you've got to do this and you've got to da da da. So I had this marketing plan, which was devastating to my brain. And my brain likes logic problems, right? It digs that. That's actually what my degree is in. Like, it totally digs it. But my heart was dying, right? My brain was digging the gymnastics, but my heart was like, really? Can I just crawl up into a corner and die and eat chocolate the rest of my life? Because if I actually have to work this plan, I'd rather just not even bother. That's actually what my heart was saying. And it actually took me a health crisis because I was having my hemoglobin dropped and my iron dropped. And so my body was literally going, no, wrong direction, stop. And after a lot of, you know, real time spent with my own self, and I realized that, you know what, I actually want to kick this totally old school. I don't want to do the heavy social media, even though that's what the experts say I should be. I actually want to do lectures in libraries, in nice, you know, informal gatherings in people's homes, whatever. That's what I want. And I want it just to spread by word of mouth.
Well, we're here to help you do that.
No, but here's the thing though. And that's why when we're being a parent and we have a business, I believe that there are small things we can do to hone our business plan that actually is in line, you know, but it is a case of sort of subtracting some things that people are telling us we should be doing, farming out other things that really someone else would love to do, that it doesn't fill our soul. And I think that's the real journey, is getting that to a place where you'll have all the time in the world to brush your teeth and make love for hours and spend quality time with your children and have a flourishing business. Like, this is an and, but we have to hone it. And the only way we do that is through introspection and intuition and listening. And it's very gradual. Like, we're not, okay, here's one more thing, because I'm sure we're running out of time soon. But when human beings aren't linear systems, right? Our brains create things like a car, where you have a steering wheel, you have an internal combustion engine, you've got wheels, you've got this is what it is. We understand all the working pieces. We can optimize our fuel economy. We can do all these things. This is what our brain can do. This is called a linear system. Human beings and everything in the world that isn't created by humans are not linear. We're non-linear systems. We're chaotic systems, which means you can't optimize us, because we don't know all the moving parts. So what that means is, if you make one tiny change, there is a ripple effect through the whole system. You can't determine what that ripple effect is going to be. This is why you have to trust your intuition. You have to trust that you're hooking into something that wiser than your brain. But that ripple effect changes everything. And then you make one more small change, and that ripple effect changes everything. That's how humans are actually designed. And it's so much simpler than we think.
And it's how we spiral up.
Yes, exactly. Effortlessly.
Effortlessly,
spiral,
yes.
Up effortlessly.
Yes. Well, even how we came together and our connection and our chat, it was effortless and it was intuitive. And here we are.
I know.
Katrina, how would you define health?
I don't know. That's my truth. I don't know. I mean, I come into that, you know, that health comes from the foundation of wholeness. And I guess the only thing I could say is that it's ease. That's like, and this is very personal for me right now, is that up until this point in life, I think I've really done everything through great effort. You know, I've accomplished a lot, but it seems that it's come at a great cost to my health and to everything. And now it seems, I'm 47 and I have this whole other second half of my life, And the message to me is, if it isn't easy, it's not meant to happen. You're off path. And the more I make it easy, the healthier I become, whatever that means. Everything, I sleep better. I have greater intuition. My business thrives. People show up in my lives, like even how we met. I was lying in my dentist chair, and my dentist came out and said, "Hey, do you want to come and speak at our holistic practitioners night?" And I was like, "Yes." And so I end up doing a tantra talk to all of you guys. Like, that was ease. It was so easy. And I think that's the key, that human beings are healthiest when our bodies are in ease. Well, you know, and okay, so can I share with what I was joking about earlier?
Sure, about you can.
Okay, so I had sex the other day, which is exciting because I'm like newly single, and so it's weird. And so I had sex, and it was so funny. I was walking down the street, and it was like every single person, especially the men, were just like staring at me. And I think I just had this, I mean, I joked about that it was pheromones and stuff, but really, it's like I had like just made love face. You know, I just had this like total relaxed ease, you know, thing. But the truth is, I'll bet in that moment, my nervous system was happy, my digestion was happy, my brain was happy, my skin was happy, everything, every aspect of my being was happy because I was restful and I was relaxed and I felt alive. And it's all ease. And I think we kind of miss the boat as humans thinking, every great religion says it, you know, you don't have to work so hard. If you're working hard, you're off path. You know, if it's not coming to you, and I think that's where health is such a gift, that when our health goes off, that we're off, like it's so connected. And I really think we're supposed to really enjoy life and realize this can still be running businesses and having children and having relationships, because that's really enjoyable. Like, I love what I do. I love teaching. I love writing. I love running businesses. But as soon as I stop loving it, I won't be healthy. So that's a real circuitous answer to what health is.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's different every time too. It's always a reflection of people's experiences and wisdom. And thank you. I loved it. Each month, I'm featuring a new Anthropology quiz to help you unlock and uncover some of the physical performance blocks that might be holding you back from your true potential. This month, the quiz is exploring sleep. Besides digestion, sleep is one of the most fundamental things we need to be able to do as living beings, and we have historically undervalued this time of recovery to be able to keep us in peak performance. No longer is it about how many hours a day can you hustle, but it's really about how effectively can you sleep and recover. I want to know whether or not you are sleeping and recovering the way you should be. To learn more or to take the quiz, head on over to meganwalker.com/anthropology quiz. Katrina, the second half of the interview is something that I call our KPIs, so key performance indicators. So there are questions that in a business we would look at to understand where we're moving in terms of the direction, and are we hitting those places that we need to hit? And I think we have those in health and in life as well. So these are 5 quick questions. You haven't seen them, and I'm going to throw them your way.
Oh, the hot seat.
The hot seat.
Okay.
So you ready?
I'm ready.
Turn on your math brain.
I totally feel like I'm on a game show. Okay.
Okay, just tap in. Just tap in.
Okay.
Do you have a consistent morning routine? And if so, can you share it?
No, I don't.
Relief to 50% of the audience. Fiction or nonfiction? What are you reading right now?
Nonfiction. I'm reading the story of Nikola Tesla.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm. I only read fiction when one of my kids says, Mom, you should read this. Then I end up reading Twilight or something.
Team of fiction curators. I love it. Hot beverage of choice. What is it and how do you prepare it?
I make an excellent latte, I have to say. I make it on the stove in a Italian espresso maker. And right now I make it with homemade almond milk because I've realized that dairy doesn't like me.
That was my next question. With real dairy or some nuanced version?
No, I make it with almond milk. I just made homemade almond with water, almonds with water, and maple syrup.
Oh, the secret ingredient. What do you do for fun or play?
I dance. I sit by the water. I drink coffee with friends. I run away to Cuba.
What good answers. And finally, entrepreneurism. Are we born this way or do we learn to become entrepreneurs?
I think some people are born to be entrepreneurs. I think it really isn't for everyone. You have to desire. Some people really do well working for other people. That actually is their perfect place in the world. And other people, if you're an entrepreneur, then you have to love the challenge and the responsibility of running your own business. Because I think a lot of people choose to be entrepreneurs because they were dissatisfied working for others, but they may not actually be meant to be bosses. They may not actually be meant to love the challenge of the hunt, you know? And I think that's the challenge, is being an entrepreneur. You have to have a vision and you have to want to do it and you will have to thrive on the challenge. And if you don't, I think it's really important to look at that and ask, am I really born to do this? Because I don't think we're all born for it at all. I really believe that many people are brilliant sous chefs and they thrive with the most ease and the most joy and the most bliss when they can embrace a great passion of someone else.
Back to ease, back to simple.
Mm-hmm.
Great answers. Katrina, it's been such a pleasure having you on the podcast. I know you have a new book coming out. I want to make this easy for you. How can people find it? What's it called and where is it going to be?
So the new book is called Tantric Intimacy, Discover the Magic of True Connection. And the best way is to go to my website, fusiontantra.com. And I have an email list. And when you sign up for the email list, you get two videos, like introduction to Tantra videos, and a list of books and different things. But most importantly, as soon as my new book is out and available, the email list will be told first. And that's the best thing, is just to get on my email list there. Yeah.
That's great. Well, we'll have all of that information in the show notes so that people can find you and can get their hands on the book as soon as it comes out. Congratulations on that. Katrina, thanks for being here. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you so much, Megan. This was so much fun.
If you enjoyed our conversation and would like to hear more, head on over to Stitcher or iTunes and subscribe to the Entrepology Podcast. We would also really appreciate a quick review. When people have their health, they can change the world. Let us keep you healthy and you go change the world.